Well, good morning. It's great to be back with you again. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And what a treat. It's my third time being with you this year. And man, I'm just so blessed when I get to hang out with the Harmony Christian Church family. So many wonderful people. You have such a wonderful staff here. Love Mike Allen, the worship. When I've been here, he did this song back in early summer when I was here called Turn Graves into Gardens, and I'd never heard that song before, but that's been like my go-to song over the last several months, and just love that song. Robbie, your children's minister, does an unbelievable job. And then David Birchfield, the man behind the scenes, being a former executive pastor, I can greatly appreciate all the many hats that he wears. Yes, give him a hand. And then I wanted to give Dean some love, but then he rolls out this morning with a Pittsburgh Steelers mask. As a lifelong suffering Dallas Cowboy fan, I don't even know if Pittsburgh Steelers fans are Christians, okay? You're like, I don't know if Dallas Cowboy fans are Christians as far as that goes. But, man, I'm really excited about your new pastor, Kent Wagner. You guys are really patient, and, man, I've been watching from a distance online and just love his passion for God and what he wants to do in this community. And I really do believe that the best is yet to come for Harmony Christian in 2021. And I am cheering you on, and I'm just blessed to help close out the end of this year with you. Well, I'm sure you're like me. A lot of you have gotten gifts before that at Christmas time over the years. You're kind of like, don't think I exactly would have chosen that if I was doing the shopping. Maybe an ugly sweater or an ugly tie, or maybe, ladies, somebody got you some perfume. It kind of brought tears to your eyes. You know, you're just like, oh my goodness. And the fact of the matter is, research has shown over the past few years that after Christmas, over $46 billion worth of Christmas gifts are going to be returned. That's B with boy, billion gifts are going to be returned. Now, I don't know about you, but, man, I'm not into that. So I just re-gift, okay? I just re-gift. Got any other re-gifters in the house this morning? Anybody online? Hey, you're in church. Let's be honest, okay? Yeah, absolutely. What's the old saying? One man's junk's another man's treasure, right? Okay? So I re-gift. Well, today I want to talk to you about returning gifts. And I'm not talking about the ugly tie or ugly sweater that you got at Christmas. I want to talk to you about some of those mental and emotional gifts that you just keep carrying from year to year. You keep saying, I'm going to return those to God, and I'm not going to carry those around another year. But maybe like one of those bad Christmas gifts that you got that's just not quite your taste, that you put on a shelf or you put it in the closet, and it just starts to kind of junk up your house. Well, some of these mental and emotional gifts that we carry around from year to year is keeping us from experiencing all that God wants us to. And as you know, I kind of got a later start in ministry. I was in the business world before, and I've been doing this now almost 19 years, though, both full-time and bivocationally. And there's three gifts, mentally and emotionally, that I've seen people carry around that just steals all that God has for them. And in our time together this morning, I want to share those three gifts with you. Not only do I want to share those three gifts with you, I want to give you three gifts that I want to challenge you and encourage you to exchange those gifts for this morning. The first gift that I hope that you're going to return before we start this new year in a few days is the gift of fear. The gift of fear. Anybody struggle with fear in here besides me? Man, I was afraid that my hair might fall out someday, and whoops, it did, right? You know what? Thank goodness Michael Jordan made bald sexy, right? I know, you ain't Michael Jordan. I get it. We all want to be like. But you know what? I got great news for you this morning. Fear is not from God. I'll say it one more time. Fear is not from God. Some of you are like, well, how do you know that, Greg? Well, the Bible tells me so. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Friends, this morning you need to know, if you're in fear, that fear didn't come from God. It's a tool that the enemy uses to discourage you and try to keep you from having hope. And as we get ready to enter into this new year, I want to make sure that you return that and get rid of it out of your heart and out of your mind. Anyone exhausted mentally and emotionally from just dealing with all of COVID this year besides me? Yeah, it's been a long year, hasn't it? It really has. But you know what? I've got great news this morning for you. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." Some of you this morning didn't know that God was right-handed, did you? Huh? Yeah, God's right-handed. Obviously, I'm just kidding. I apologize to my left-handed friends online and in person this morning. But you know what? I love that verse because I know a lot of you are just worn out. You are. You're just physically, emotionally, and mentally exhausted. And I especially want to say something to my single friends out there. There are a lot of people here this morning and watching online that you're single, either by choice, you just haven't found a person, or you didn't want to be married, or maybe you went through an unexpected divorce, or maybe you're a widow and your spouse has gone on to be with Jesus. And when you've been dealing with this pandemic, you just feel tired and worn out and lonely. And this has been a great verse to help during this time. God says, "I will strengthen you and I will help you. And I will uphold you when you feel like you can't go on with my righteous right hand." But I want to challenge you, encourage you, as we get ready to start this new year, to exchange the gift of fear with the gift of faith. Exchange the gift of fear with the gift of faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, chapter 5 verse 7 says, "By faith and not by what?" Yeah, we walk by faith and not by sight. And we've been doing a lot of that this year in 2020, haven't we? We've been having to walk a lot by faith and not by sight, not knowing what's next with this COVID-19. But I'll tell you a verse that's kind of been my go-to verse over the last 10 months, and it's a pretty short verse, but it's given me a lot of strength and helped me to have faith when I was battling fear during this pandemic. It's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. We're going to have it up on the screen. I want to encourage you to read it with me. If you're online, read it out loud. And we're going to read this out loud on the count of three. One, two, three. "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Guys, you can say like you believe that. Let's read that again, all right? "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Amen? Friends, I love that verse. And while that's kind of been my go-to verse over the last 10 months, it's because it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. He was the same in the past. When I rewind the tape of my life, and I look back at just some overwhelming odds, I've seen where God has been faithful. And I want you to know this morning that He's going to be faithful for you. If you look back in the past, I have a short-term memory loss when it comes to the things that God's got me, the jams He's got me out of. And, you know, I just move on to the next one. Anybody else struggle with that? You forget about some of the ways God's bailed you out in the past. It also says that Jesus Christ is the same today. That means in the present. He's with us here today. I know it took some of you everything you had to show up this morning. Or a lot of you are at home. You're like, "Man, I need to take down the Christmas decorations." But something inside you said, "You know what? I need to worship God this morning." And He wants to speak to you today. He loves to speak to His kids. I think it's His favorite thing that He likes to do is to speak to His kids. And then I love the last part of the verse. It says, "And forever," which lets me know that God's going to be with us in the future. No matter what happens in 2021, how much longer we have to endure this pandemic, the one constant you can count on in your life is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, I'm thankful that the Bible helps us deal with situations like fear and how to have faith. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the one where Jesus fed the 5,000 with a little boy's lunch, just two fish and five little mini loaves of bread. He fed over 5,000 people with it. And then after they were done, they actually took up several baskets of leftovers. I mean, God does things that only He can do. And I want to let you know this year, when you put God first, He's going to multiply and do things in your life that only He can do. But you can imagine, after teaching and preaching all day, Jesus was exhausted. So He told the 12 guys, the disciples that He did life with, He said, "Hey guys, you get in the boat and you guys go on over to the other side and I'll meet you in a little while. I'm going to go up on the mountain and pray to my Heavenly Father." I love that Jesus modeled what it's like when we want to have a personal relationship with God. When he was tired, he went up and spent time alone with his father. And I have to confess to you this morning that when I've been in fear in my life, a lot of times it's because of fatigue. And as a former college basketball coach at Western Kentucky University back in the 90s, we had a saying that we used. We actually got it from the former Green Bay Packer football coach Vince Lombardi. But the saying was, fatigue makes cowards of you. And when you get tired, you make unwise decisions. And when I get fatigued, I get worn out, then I start to get in fear and I start to worry and I start to doubt God. And man, some of you, the most spiritual thing you could do today is take a nap. You know, just take a nap because you're tired and you're worn out. But later on in chapter 14 in Matthew, it tells us that Jesus decided to join the disciples. They're out on the boat in the water, heading over to the other side. And a storm came up. They looked out and Jesus is out on the water. And at first they thought it was a ghost. And they're like, Lord, is that you? And I love Jesus' response. He says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. And some of you this morning needed to hear that. As we enter 2021 with a lot of uncertainty for a lot of people, when you look to Jesus, take courage. You don't have to be afraid because I'm with you. I'll uphold you with my victorious right hand. Well, then Peter, of course, you know, he's never quiet. He was the one that was always speaking his opinion out of the 12 guys. And he was like, Lord, if that's you, can I come out on the water? And Jesus simply said, come. And of course, a lot of you know this story. Peter got out of the boat. He started walking on the water towards Jesus. And then all of a sudden he saw the waves crashing. The wind was blowing, some lightning, a storm. He took his eyes off Jesus and he started to sink. And all of a sudden he cried out to God and said, Lord, he said, save me. And Jesus reached down his hand and he saved him. And I love what Jesus said to him. He said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And I want to ask you this morning, what is it keeping you from having faith? What is it causing you to doubt God's goodness and his faithfulness? I know that everybody in this room and those of you watching online is struggling with some wound from your past that is keeping you from moving from fear to faith. And I want you to know that God wants to heal that in you. And God wants you to walk on the water just like Peter did. You know, I love this piece of furniture in my house, but it is the most dangerous piece of furniture. You know what that is? It's a recliner. And you know what the number one selling recliner is? What's it called? The women are like, lazy boy, lazy boy. You know what? And it's a great term for it because when I get in my recliner, and I love to crank that throttle and, man, put my legs up, we do become comfortable and we do become lazy, don't we? And, man, I'm all for getting rest. We need to do that, okay? But for some of you, you look up and you're like, oh, my goodness, it's 2021. I'm still having financial issues. I'm still in debt. My marriage is just hanging on by a thread. My mental and emotional and physical health is not good. And you've been in fear from year to year. And I want you to decide today that in 2021, I'm going to be like Peter. I'm going to get out of the boat. I'm going to get out of the recliner. And I'm going to walk on the water. Amen? I mean, God wants to help you. He said he'll be with you. He'll uphold you with his victorious right hand. Just like Peter, he said, come walk with me. But you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. For some of you, you need to go cut those credit cards up when you get home. You need to decide today at the end of the service, I'm going to put God first in my finances this year. The Bible talks about giving a tenth, the tithe, okay? Maybe some of you are like, Greg, you don't know what I got coming in with my Christmas credit card bills and all that. But start somewhere. Start with $10. But put God first in your finances and walk on the water and watch what he does. If your marriage is hanging on by a thread, email the church this afternoon and say, hey, I need a good Christian counselor to help heal the wounds in my marriage. Or maybe you're like me. I shared with you back when I was here, I think in May, that during COVID where I had to slow down my schedule a little bit, I started dealing with some emotional wounds that had happened to me in my past that I kind of slid under the carpet by just working a lot. A lot of it was doing ministry stuff, doing good things, but staying busy from dealing with those fears and wounds from my past. I started meeting with a Christian counselor, And man, it's just been so healing over the last few months as I've dealt with some wounds from my past and fears that I have. And then another way that I dealt with my fears is I love to medicate with food. Now, I know some of you are like, you're meddling now. No, you can go anywhere, but don't touch my food. Don't touch my food. But friends, I knew that I was doing that. And I started doing this Trainer Joe's program that's faith-based. It's got a simple plan. Thankfully, just a little bit of exercise, so even I can do that. And man, I'm just thrilled to tell you that from August till Christmas Eve that I lost 30 pounds. And I felt like a new man. But it was because I was willing to get out of the recliner. I was willing to get out of the boat. I still got a long way to go. But God wants to help you get out of the recliner and get out of the boat this year. But you got to decide today that I'm going to replace fear with faith. Amen? Second gift that I want to encourage you to exchange as we start this new year is exchange the gift of worry. Have I got any worriers in the house this morning? Anybody online? Oh, yeah, I'm with you. I understand. I used to have my grocery store up in Cynthiana, and I used to have an older gentleman come in, and he'd see me, and I'd be going, oh, my goodness, you know, what are we doing? He said, young man, if you don't quit rubbing your hand through your hair, you're going to wind up being bald someday. Yep, looks like he was prophetic, wasn't he? You know? But I love this quote about worry from Joyce Meyer. She said, you know, worry is like a rocking chair. You can rock a lot, it'll keep you real busy, but it doesn't get you anywhere, right? Isn't that true? And I want you to think about in 2020, or even your lifetime, how much time you have let the enemy steal from you because of worry. And you know that 80% of the things that we are in fear or worry about, they don't ever even happen. But the enemy loves to steal the blessings God has for us because of that. And I'm so thankful that the Bible, if you've got yours with you today, I want to encourage you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. We're going to hang out there just for a couple of minutes. If you got your phone, you can get on your Bible app and do that. But we're going to look at what Jesus, he talked a lot in these 9 verses about worry. Jesus said, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink, or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? And then Jesus asked a great question. He says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? I want to ask you this morning, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And I don't say that to beat anybody up, to discourage anybody. But I think in church, we got to be honest and we got to ask some of the tough questions. And worry, it's a sin. It's not going to keep you from going to heaven, but it keeps us from enjoying and experiencing all the blessings that God has for us. And friends, God loves to bless his kids. He really, really does. He goes on to say in verse 28, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon, who is the richest man of all time, in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Some of you this morning need to know that God cares about you. He knows about the struggles that you're going through, the loneliness, the financial burdens, the health challenges. But then Jesus asked another question. Man, I love how Jesus teaches, because not only does he teach, he also asks questions and enables us to think and process the information. He asked a great question again. He says, why do you have so little faith? And I asked you that question in a different way just a few minutes ago, but I want to ask you this morning, why do you have so little faith? And I think a lot of times the reason I don't have faith is because I think it all depends on me. If it's in Greg Horn's power, just say, ain't no way this can happen. And I'm finding that one of the most powerful words that I've experienced over the past 10 months, and as a man, I used to hate this word, but I have found that there is power in this word, and that word is simply surrender. Simply surrender. One of the things I've been doing almost every morning when I get up, is I roll out of bed, I get on my knees and just say, Lord, I surrender this day to you. Help me with everything I deal with, and help me if I have problems not to stop at Krispy Kreme and get a hot glazed donut. If the hot glazed sign on, keep going straight ahead, baby. You know? You'd laugh, but some of you know what I'm talking about. But I've just been trying to surrender. And there's power in that. When you say, Lord, I surrender to you and give me faith. I need to have more faith. Then Jesus goes on in verse 31, chapter 6 of Matthew, says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what do we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. We'll say that again. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Obviously, if you're here this morning, you either, one, are a follower of Jesus, you're a believer, or you're kind of checking out this Christianity thing, this God thing, because you're finding out in 2020 with this COVID pandemic how little control we really have. That's one of the things that I'm learning. I have so little control. And I used to think I could control a lot of things, but man, we have learned that can change in an instant, can't it? And I hope today that you're going to exchange fear for faith and worry. And then I love what Jesus says next in verse 33. He's like, well, Greg, how do I do this? It says, Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Now, friends, there's a difference in needs and wants, okay? Now, I'd like to have a new car, man. I'm like, man, you know, one of my brothers has a Mercedes and the other one's got a BMW. And I got a 2009 Santa Fe Hyundai with rust, okay? But guess what? It's still rolling 222,000 miles. And God's like, you need transportation? I got you a need. And you know what? I'm thankful, man, because guess what? It's paid for. It's paid for. I don't have any car payment. It's a need, and God provided. Someday he may bless me with a Benz or a Mercedes. Anybody feeling generous? Go ahead, okay? But then it goes on to say, in verse 34, Jesus finishes this passage saying, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Can I get an amen? There's so much truth in that. And I know a lot of you said, okay, Greg, I got you. I need to exchange that gift of worry. I want to exchange the gift of fear. How do I do that? Well, I want to encourage you to do that with prayer. But before I do that, I want you to look at this great quote by Denzel Washington. Okay? Fear and worry start in your mind. Okay? That's where it starts. The battlefield is right here in the mind. I saw this great quote by Denzel Washington on Twitter about 3 weeks ago, and I posted it on my personal Facebook page. I usually get a handful of shares or likes, no big deal. This thing, as of yesterday, has been shared over 150,000 times from little, short, fat, sexy, bald Greg Horn's personal Facebook page, okay? Somebody just said, did he say sexy in church? Okay, that's not true, okay? Just want to see if you're listening. Over 150,000 people agreed that this is powerful. Listen to this. It's up on the screen. Denzel said, easy to spot a red car when you're always thinking of a red car. Easy to spot opportunity when you're always thinking of opportunity. Easy to spot reasons to be mad when you're always thinking about being mad. You become what you constantly think about. Watch yourself. Isn't that good? Friends, I'm going to challenge you. I want to encourage you. Take captive. The Bible says take every captive thought. Take every thought captive. And that's why you got to exchange the gift of worry with the gift of prayer. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And I know this is the third time I've said that this morning, but I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to say it again. Some of you doubt if God even cares about you. And for some reason, God's wanted me to say three different times that God cares about you, and he hurts because you hurt, and he wants to help you. In 1 Peter 5, 7, I love it says, cast all your worries, not some of your worries, not most of your worries, all your worries upon God because he cares for you. But one of the things I think that we've been guilty of in the church that keeps a lot of people from praying is we make it too complicated. And I asked him to make a slide of this, and this is like the most simple thing ever, but somebody I know either watching online or here in person needs to hear this. Prayer is simply a conversation between you and God. Prayer is simply a conversation between you and God. But you know what makes a good conversation? Two things. One, obviously talking, communicating verbally. But the second thing to a great conversation is listening. And I have to be honest with you this morning. I'm not a good listener. But man, I could talk. And yet, one day, I heard several years ago, I've never forgotten this. You know, isn't it kind of interesting that God proportionally gave us two ears and one mouth? Maybe he was trying to say to us that proportionally we should listen twice as much as we speak. Ouch. Don't be elbowing the person sitting next to you, okay? But seriously, I think God wants to speak to you. And it's great to pray to him, but also listen to him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, 7 puts it very simple. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. I want to ask you this morning, when's the last time you just thanked God for something? I'm not talking about those prayers when you see the blue flashing lights coming behind you and you're like, oh, Lord Jesus, if you'll get me out of this, I'll never speed again. And then the police car goes past you and goes on down the road. I'm not talking about those prayers, but I'm talking about just those thanking God that you have food to eat, that you had clean drinking water, that you're able to get up and get out of bed, that you had the freedom to go worship. I mean, I took that for granted until they shut down the churches back in, I think it was March or April, whenever that was. I used to take that for granted. That first Sunday, I was back able to worship. I was like, thank you, Lord. But look what it says in this verse after. It says, thank God for all he has done. It says, then, after you've been thanking God for the blessings, the many blessings he's given all of us, then you will experience God's peace. I love that word, peace. Say that word with me. Peace. Peace. It just relaxes me when I say the word peace. It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Friends, there's such power in prayer. I want to encourage you to do that. But I know some of you are still skeptics. You're like, come on, Greg, help me out here. So as I was putting this message together this week, I said, Lord, help me, give me something simple that, because I'm a simple guy, I need it on the lower shelf so I can understand it, number one. Number two, so I can remember. And so I want to give you the word PRAY, an acronym with PRAY. Maybe you're taking notes, you want to write this down, but here's why. What happens to me when you pray. Letter P, it causes us to pause. It just causes us to slow down. And I don't mean maybe just physically, but I mean our minds from all our to-do list and social media and TV and all those things in the background. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Friends, God wants to talk to you, but we got to put ourselves in a place to do that. Letter R, reflect on our lives. Reflect on our lives. When we pause and be still, God wants us to reflect on our lives. That's been one of the great things for me during this pandemic, is I've been doing a lot of reflecting on both the good and bad decisions I've made. And I got news, we make some of both, don't we? We really do. And who's the common denominator in all those decisions? Greg Horn, right? I'm thankful that God helps bless me when I make good decisions, but I'm so thankful even more that he extends grace when I make bad decisions. The letter A, when we pray, after we pause and we kind of reflect on our lives, it helps adjoin us with God. Anybody ever gone on a trip and you've got, you know, a group together or, you know, big family or a big group of friends and you ask for adjoining rooms, right? When you ask for those adjoining rooms, it's great because there's a door that you can just leave open. You can come in and out. When you start to pray, you're opening up the room of your heart and mind for God to come in and to adjoin you in whatever you're in fear about or whatever you're worrying about. And then the letter Y, after we've paused, we reflected, and we're adjoining with God through time of prayer, both speaking and listening, it yields my heart and my mind to what God wants to do in whatever I'm in fear or worry about. John chapter 3, verse 30 says, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. And that's a prayer that we all need to be praying a little bit more. And when we pray, God helps kind of get our heart and mind in the right perspective and helps us keep from having fear or worry. The third and final gift that I want to encourage you and even challenge you to exchange this year is the compare game. The compare game. Got anybody that you play board games at Christmas time, Monopoly? You know, we like to play different types of games, card games, things like that. One of the things that I've been far too guilty in my life is playing the compare game. You know, where do I live? How big's my house? What car do I drive? How much money do I make? Where do the kids go to school? Do they go to college? Are they on the all-star team? And blah, blah, blah. We're so just comparing about things. We look and we just compare, and the enemy loves it. Because you know what happens when we compare, don't you? One of two things. Number one, pride sets in because we think we're a little better than other people, which we know that's not God-honoring. Or a second thing sets in, and when we don't have as many toys or we don't measure up by the world standard of the things that we have, self-pity sets in. And I'll tell you, nobody can play a good game of self-pity better than me. Anybody throw a good pity party besides me? Huh? Oh, man. Would you like some cheese to go with that wine? You know? Right? Yeah. We all do it, don't we? But man, I want to encourage you to say, no, I'm not going to keep playing that compare game in 2021. I love this quote by former President Theodore Roosevelt. Comparison is the thief of joy. Isn't that true? Comparison is the thief of joy. You're like, I want to have more joy in 2021. Well, I love the acronym I heard many years ago. It's still true. If you want to have joy, J-O-Y, put Jesus first, others second, and yourself third, and you'll have all kinds of joy. Rick Warren has a great quote, says, don't compare your lives to others. There's no comparison between the sun and the moon. They shine when it's their time. I've got news for you this morning. For some of you, 2021 is going to be your time to shine. Some of you say, hey, where did I start? You know, this ministry that I love that you guys have here, it'd be a good place to start to shine, is the Sprinkles ministry. Well, the reason I love it, because it involves food, okay? You guys take donuts or cookies to people's house. You're taking the church to people and saying, hey, we care about you. I heard a saying many years ago, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Isn't that so true? And man, I love the Sprinkles ministry. Some of you are like, Greg, I can't play an instrument. I can't sing. I'm nervous speaking in front of people. If I worked on the technology team, Dean and the team do a great job back there. I'd blow up everything, which that would be me. But you know what? You can say, hey, give me one of those Sprinkles boxes and let me take it to somebody, a neighbor, a coworker, a friend that I know is struggling and they don't know Jesus. Or maybe they did, but they've just wandered from the faith. And that's something that you can do to help in that comparison game. And I want to challenge you today to exchange that compare game for the gift of gratitude. The gift of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. But you know the good news this morning? That scientific research shows benefits of being a person that's grateful. Number one, it improves your physical health. Number two, it improves your mental health. Three, it helps you enhance empathy and it reduces aggression in your life. It also helps improve your self-esteem when you're more grateful and thankful. And last but not least, grateful people sleep better. Anybody need a little more sleep? Start being a little bit more grateful. And maybe you'd be amazed what God wants to do. I love this quote by Rick Warren. Rick Warren has had a big impact on my life. I did his 40 days devotional book called The Purpose-Driven Life back in 2003. It was a game changer. If you're looking for a devotional book just to kind of kick off the year, I would really recommend it. But I love this quote by Rick Warren. He says, gratitude is the breakthrough attitude. Gratitude is the breakthrough attitude. If some of you want to have a breakthrough this year, well, God wants to help you have that. But I believe with all my heart, it starts with having gratitude. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Man, that's three things we could all have going into this year, couldn't we? We could pray, have an alert mind, not filled with fear or worry, and have a thankful heart. And I want to close today sharing just a powerful example of gratitude that I was fortunate enough to experience close up just about a week ago. Hope Is Here's Ministry. We have a radio program Monday through Friday. We also have podcasts, and I'm just so blessed and thankful. We just celebrated our third anniversary on December 4th and had over 40,000 podcasts listened to. But what started out as a radio program and podcast has expanded into doing one-on-one counseling. And as I see needs that the Holy Spirit shows me, we want to provide hope to people with things that we know would be game changers in their life and give them hope in Jesus again. And there's a young man named Luke that I've been investing in. The Hope Is Here ministry is over the past few years. Like all of us, Luke's made some unwise decisions, but he's trying to get back on track. And we kind of been walking with him hand in hand. And one of the things that Luke struggles with is he can't hear. He has severe hearing loss, and he's only 40 years old. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, why don't you try to talk to a few people, see if they will make some donations to Hope Is Here ministry, and then let's go see if we can get him some hearing aids. So I went and met with Lane Haight, the owner of Audibel Hearing Center over on Southland Drive, and said, could you help us out? I've got, you know, a little bit of money, but I want to help this guy with hearing. Because he works in a kitchen, and with people wearing masks, he can't read lips anymore. And so we presented these hearing aids to him about a week ago, and I want you to watch this 58-second video of Luke after he gets the hearing aids.
Hello. I'd just like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the hearing aids, the donations. It means the world to me. The last 2 days have shown me how much I've been missing in the world, and the excitement of finally being able to hear birds and my shoes squeaking on the floor and aggravating the fire out of me. I just thank you. I don't know how else to say it. It's overwhelming and exciting at the same time. You blessed me with a gift of hearing and sound. And I'm no longer having to depend on reading lips when people are wearing masks. And if there's ever anything I can do for any of you or anything, just reach out. Thank you for the blessing. God bless.
That's gratitude, isn't it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you for a chance to, for 30 minutes just to be still and know that you're God. And Lord, I know just desire your heart is that we would all exchange that gift of fear for the gift of faith, and that we would exchange the gift of worry that we've been hanging around in our lives and carrying way too long for the gift of prayer. And last but not least, that we would exchange the compare game that the enemy tempts us to play so often for the gift of gratitude. And Lord, just like Luke, maybe we don't have to have hearing aids, but may we just hear your voice and hear those words of encouragement and love and grace and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control that you give so freely because of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're a good, good Father. You're a generous Father, and that there's always hope because of that baby that was born in a manger, Jesus. And it's in his name I pray. Amen. Hey, we're going to sing a couple worship songs, and then we're going to go into a time of communion. I'll also give you a chance to share some of the financial resources that God's entrusted you with. But maybe today you're just like, you know, man, I just need somebody to pray for me. I really want to start doing that prayer and exchange fear and worry that you talked about, Greg. If you need somebody just to pray with you, I want to encourage you, man, just humble yourself. Come on up front. There'll be a couple people up here. I'll be over to the left. If you need prayer, if you want just somebody to pray with you, just come on up, and if you'll stand with us as we worship.